The Holy Gospel according to John chapter 6, beginning with verse 24. This will serve as our sermon text this morning. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them, "Amen, amen, I tell you. You are not looking for me because you saw the miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not continue to work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." So they said to him, "What should we do to carry out the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." Then they asked him, "So what miraculous sign are you going to do that we may see it and believe you? What miraculous sign are you going to perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, just as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I tell you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the real bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said to him, "give us this bread all the time." "I am the bread of life," Jesus told them. "The one who comes to me will never be hungry, and the one who believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Give your attention again to John chapter 6. Let me read the first verse again, verse 24. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. This is the word of our God, and so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, where are you going? Who are you looking for? What is it that you're doing? These are good questions to ask when you're pursuing Jesus. Of course, those are kind of the questions that Jesus was asking the people who were pursuing him in our text, this bread of life discourse that followed from it. He knew that the people who were pursuing them, so many of them, their hearts were all wrong. The answers to those questions for them were all the wrong answers. What about your hearts? What are you doing here? Who are you looking for? Why have you come? Well, today as we look at Jesus' bread of life discourse, that wonderful, beautiful word that he speaks to us here, he wants us to come and look for him, but he wants us to find him for the right reasons. So let's go. Let's go look for Jesus to do the work of God and to receive the food that endures to eternal life. Understand the context of this discourse that Jesus gave that's recorded for us in John chapter 6. Jesus had just fed 5,000 people, over 5,000 people, miraculously. And boy, were people excited about that. So excited they were that they went looking for him. When they found out that he wasn't there, they were running to him around the lake, or they were rowing, jumping in boats and rowing across the side. Wherever he went, they wanted to go looking for him. They wanted to go and find him. But why? What was it that they were seeking? What is it that they wanted so much that they had to find Jesus? Well, Jesus told them what it was that they should be seeking in this bread of life discourse. In the course of pursuing him, they asked a question, what should we do to carry out the works of God? That's a great question. That's a wonderful place to start as you're looking for Jesus, pursuing Jesus. What should we do to carry out the works of God? That should be the question on all of our minds. Every time that we come to God's house, what is it that God wants us to do? Just think of that. If we spent our day thinking about that question, making our decisions and directing our lives based on that question, how different our lives would look. What should we do to carry out the works of God? Sadly, too often in our lives, we're like those people who came expecting all the wrong things, or not even having that question in our minds at all. There are other guiding principles that we have in life. What should we do that would be the will of me? What is it that I want to carry out and accomplish in my life? What do I want to do? It's sad for us, so many in our lives, so often we're not considering, what does God desire for me? God invites us to ask this question, what should we do to carry out the works of God? But then as we ask that question, you consider, well, that's why I'm here, Pastor. That's why I've come. That's why I'm looking for Jesus. And we do ask that question. And when we do, when that reason comes up, a good reason to pursue Jesus, you might be surprised to find the answer that Jesus gives to that question. Well, Jesus responded to those people who were pursuing him that day, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." God's work that he wants you to do is actually not work that you do at all. He wants you to believe. He wants you to receive the gift of faith that he grants to you. God's work is that we know Jesus. We know Jesus for who he truly is, what he truly came to this earth to do, so that we put our trust in him who was sent to rescue us not from earthly hunger, but to rescue us from our sins. How does that belief, that faith happen in your heart? It's not by your work at all. It's by the work that the Holy Spirit accomplishes through the Word and through the sacraments. God's work, Jesus' answer to the most important work that God wants me to be doing, is that I believe. And that happens when the Holy Spirit is working through me, through his Word and sacraments. Are you surprised by that answer? This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent. Often we might be drawn to think of great works that we could accomplish for Jesus or for God. Maybe we think, well, I have to go on some mission trip far, far away to be able to accomplish the works of God. I need to be doing, or I need to give my whole life over to Jesus. Perhaps in the public ministry I'll become a pastor or a teacher, because that's the only work, the most important and greatest work that I must do. But that's not what Jesus said. That wasn't Jesus' answer. Don't get me wrong. Pursuing the public ministry, sharing that gospel with the world, is a wonderful, high, and noble calling. But that wasn't Jesus' answer to this question, what should we do to carry out the works of God? The public ministry isn't for everyone. Not everyone has been called to it, and not everyone is prepared or trained for it. And so often we think, well, this is the highest, the greatest work, the only calling to do the work of God. But Jesus says something else. Maybe you're surprised that he doesn't say something else as well in answer to this. Jesus doesn't say here what we often say is the great commission, the most important work. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He did say that. He gave that command in a different context, in another place. Don't you think that would be the highest, greatest work? That I go out and share the gospel with other people? That I go and spread that word so that others will believe too? Don't we think that reaching out, evangelizing, bringing other people to Jesus would be the highest work that we could do? But Jesus doesn't even mention that here. He doesn't direct you to other people in answer to this question, what should we do to carry out the works of God? He directs you to you. You, he says, believe. As we go looking for Jesus, help us to see the greatest work that Jesus desires from you. that you believe in Him, that you trust. That means that you're devoted to hearing God's Word. That means that you're doing what we're seeing here today and happens again and again in wonderful, beautiful ways. You bring your children to Jesus. And there Jesus gives His Holy Spirit through the Word and through sacraments to give faith and to strengthen faith for you so that you believe in the One that God sent. I could speak real directly to people today, but I would be speaking, I think, to a lot of people who aren't here in this house. But I want them to hear this, and I want them to know this. What is most important? We have a congregation of 1,000 members, and all of them should be going to look for Jesus to do the works of God. And what is that work of God? What does that mean? It means to put down the remote and to get off the couch, to get out of bed and to come and to find Jesus in His Word and sacraments. Do the works of God as you find Jesus in His Word and receive Him in that blessed Holy Communion. Go look for Jesus. That means that you put aside those athletic schedules. You put down the bats and balls. You put down the sticks and gloves. You put down the knee pads and come and do the works of God. And what is that? That you gather with your fellow believers regularly as you receive God's grace. It's not doing at all. It's receiving God's grace as you grow in faith. It's taking that body and blood of Christ together with the bread and wine, that sacrament, for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what doing the works of God is. God bless us as we continue to do that in our lives every day. Let's go looking for Jesus. All right, so we pursue Jesus, and that's what these people in this text were doing, right? They were doing a good thing. They were pursuing Jesus. They were wanting to follow Him, to chase after Him wherever He went, find Him and go with Him. They wanted His miracles. They wanted to see Him do more. But it wasn't enough for them just to believe that Jesus can do some amazing things. They believed that Jesus could give them earthly food forever. They wanted Him to do exactly that. Like those Israelites in the wilderness were fed by God for 40 years. They even cited that and said, Moses did this for the Israelites for 40 years. What are you going to do for us, Jesus? Feed us. That 5,000 that you fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish, I want that every day. They were living for this life. And Jesus was going to make their life, this life, great. And oh, how wrong they were. That's not the belief in Jesus for which He calls. That's not what He wants us to believe in either, as people here gathered 2,000 years later to hear His Word and to look for Jesus. But do we do that so often? If I do what Jesus says, if I believe in Him and follow Him, He's going to make my life great. He's going to do everything that I need for me here now in this life. There's countless preachers who promise that, and there's many more people who follow them. And sometimes we're allured by that too. He's going to fill my every want. He'll give me everything that I need in this life. But no. Jesus says, no, that's not what I have come for. That's not what will sustain you. That's not what you need. He doesn't give you life full of earthly sustenance. He's not here to perpetuate your life forever here on earth. Jesus says this, amen, amen, I tell you. He wants you to pay attention. He wants you to listen. You are not looking for me because you saw the miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. do not continue to work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. You're not looking for me because you saw the miraculous signs. Well, what do miraculous signs do? They point to the fact that not that Jesus can fill all my earthly needs and wants. They point to the fact that he is the bread of life who has come down from heaven, who is the very Son of God himself, who came to this earth to suffer and die for my sins, to rescue me from all for all eternity for him. Not for this life, but for heaven. Food that endures to eternal life. That's what Jesus wants to give you. Don't look to him to feed your bellies. Don't come to church because you're convinced that it's going to make your life on earth better. Because he's got something more to give you. He's here to give you eternal life. Food that endures forever. And what is that food? He tells us, I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will never be hungry, and the one who believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus, that one that we're looking for, that one that we're chasing after, he gives himself. He gave himself when he suffered on the cross for our sins. He came down from heaven to feed us with that spiritual food for all eternity of his death and his resurrection for us in our place, being our substitute to take all of our sins away. And he fills our needs and he satisfies our hunger. Jesus satisfies us with the food of himself, with his life. Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Jesus fills us with that righteousness. He feeds us and nourishes us with his own perfect life. Jesus removed the starving effects of sin from us when he came to this earth to live that perfect life in our place. For all the times that we pursued God for the wrong reasons, for all the times when we didn't even pursue God at all, Jesus came to fulfill that righteousness that we lacked, that we were starving and thirsting for. And Jesus gives us that righteousness, his life, for us in our place. And look how he feeds you now in your spiritual starvation. He calls out to you, even in the midst of shallow faith that we have so often, for our bread king mentality that we come to God and say, God, give me whatever I need in this life, forgetting about all the blessings that he's given us for eternity. And then he takes those sins away and he fills us up with his righteousness, the food that endures to eternal life. He said to them in John 6, and he says it to you, amen, amen, I tell you. Do you hear? Listen, he says, I'm dead serious about what I'm saying here. Amen, amen, this is most certainly true. You are not looking for me because you saw the miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Friends, see the miraculous signs that Jesus does. Not so that you know that he can provide food on your table every day for the rest of your life, though he can do that. See the miraculous signs so that you know who this is. This is very God, come down from heaven for you. So he urges them and he urges us. Do not continue to work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Jesus, the Son of Man, is giving you that food that endures to eternal life. So let's go look for Jesus, and let's find him in his perfect life for you, in his death on the cross to take away all of your sins, and in his glorious resurrection for you, to give you a food that lasts for eternity. He, the Son of Man, is giving it to you. Let's go look for that. What are you doing? Why are you here? What are you looking for? You've come to the right place, as you go looking for Jesus. Because this is where your encounter with that bread of life happens. To feast upon Jesus, not an earthly bread, but a bread from heaven to give you eternal life. To know your Savior Jesus, to do the works of God in your life, and what is that greatest work of all? That I might know and I might believe in Jesus, my Savior. The greatest work that you can do is let the Holy Spirit work in your heart and in your life. Let God do. Let God strengthen your faith. That's the greatest work of all. And then find that bread that lasts for all eternity. Eat the food that endures to eternal life. And we'll see you next week as you continue to feast on this gift from God. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen.